This is some wonderful. Please say good morning and welcome to 710 KNUS. And we've never had him with us on the show before, but his name is Jim Bovard, and he wrote a piece, and we have talked about this at great length, about the 9/11 Commission and the pages, the 28, 29 pages that have been classified from the 9/11 Joint Congressional Inquiry. Jim, welcome to the show, man, and thanks for doing it. He's with the public policy hooligan and member of USA Today's Board of Contributors. But first of all, Jim, do a quick bio so people get a sense of who you are, please. And thanks for doing the show.
Hey, Peter, thanks so much for having me on. I'm a journalist. I'm an author. I've been throwing rocks at the government for over 30 years.
My guy.
I've been if memory serves, I think you're from Pittsburgh, right?
I heard it in your voice.
No,
I swear to God,
really?
I'm thinking it's a homie.
It's a homie. That's a riot. Well, you know, I haven't used the word Ewens yet. So
the Ewens.
Ewens, yeah.
And I, all right, where are Ewens from?
Well, I was born in Iowa, raised in the mountains of Virginia, but both my parents were from the Pittsburgh area. So it saved me from having a deep southern accent that would make people lower their estimate of my IQ by 10 points.
In the words of my sainted father, you know why girls quit high school in the eighth grade in West Virginia?
Why is that?
They go to Arkansas to get jobs as teachers.
Oh, that's great.
That was the old man's joke.
Great. I never heard that one before.
So Ewens are from West Virginia.
No. I was raised in the mountains of Virginia.
Okay.
You know, but, you know, the huge difference between West Virginia and Virginia, I mean, it's, you know, we're,
yes.
you know, we're talking at least 5 points average IQ.
Oh, indeed. Teeth.
Teeth. Teeth, you know, are very important in life.
Yeah, indeed. You know what? Here we go. What has an IQ of 98 and six teeth?
Don't know.
First two rows of a Willie Nelson concert.
Oh, that's good. That's very good.
No, come on. We're going to get... All of us are going to be in trouble for this. Ewens are getting me in trouble here.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time.
So, Ewens have a bologna sandwich.
I think I'd rather have a beer, but it's too early in the day.
Here's the real question. Did you ever make a fried bologna sandwich?
No, never did.
If Ewens ain't eating fried bologna sandwiches with an egg and on some tip-top bread with the white mayonnaise, that's like...
Yeah. No, I never went in that direction. I've always been more of a peanut butter guy.
Ewens is a sophisticate.
Well, people don't call me that, you know, but what the heck.
So what'd you do after you got out of high school?
Went to Virginia Tech for off and on for 2 years, and at that point I decided to become a writer. I figured having a BS would not help that much, so I dropped out and started writing. Eventually it started selling, so I've kept writing.
You know, I read your piece, and just let me set this all up again. On Tuesday, and by the way, tomorrow, former U.S. Senator Bob Graham is going to join us. It's a real, I mean, our morning show producer, Casey, did a great job. So as someone who's tried to chase the story of the Saudis in 9/11, tragically on Tuesday, the Saudis were dismissed as defendants in a lawsuit brought by the families of the 9/11, the victims of 9/11, a district court judge, a U.S. district judge by the name of George Daniels, said it was a written ruling that the lawyers, and I love this, failed to show facts sufficient to overcome Saudi's involvement. I throw the BS flag at that. So
I agree.
Let's begin. Just your overall thoughts about all of this and what is taking place.
Well, it's very frustrating because in the last 14, 15 years, the federal government has gotten far more power over us, far more intrusive, and yet there is this iron curtain of secrecy around many of the most important facts around U.S. foreign policy. And this, you know, the it's a huge question of how much involvement did the Saudis have in the 9/11 attacks. 15 of the 19 hijackers that day were Saudis. According to Senator Graham, there's evidence that the Saudis had a role in financing the attacks. This is something that the Bush administration chose to cover up. They were, it did not fit George W.'s narrative that Saddam Hussein was somehow to blame for 9/11, so we had to invade Iraq. And now President Obama has perpetuated this cover up. There have been lots of weaselly comments from the White House about how they have to do a careful study of this 28 pages. That's all a bunch of nonsense. There is no reason not to make all this public, and you've had very conservative and very liberal senators back at the time. Senator Hillary Clinton, Biden, and others were very emphatic that this should be made public back in 2003. And so it's a question of who's profiting, and especially at this point when the U.S. seems to be plunging into even more nonsense in the Middle East. We have no idea who the good guys are, who the bad guys are, if there are any good guys, and yet we're not blindly following, but the federal government is blindfolding the American people and then dragging us into a new quagmire.
I couldn't have said it better. I watch this, I read it. We are speaking with Spencer. Some of the men, Congressman Lynch is one. There's a congressman named Walter Jones. Walter Jones is a Republican. Lynch is a Dem. And you know what's interesting is, from my reading, only 13 members of the House have requested permission to read the reports. And I think that's unbelievable. But there's a full 28 pages that have been suppressed, correct?
Right. Well, but what you got to keep in mind is that Congressmen read really slow. And it sort of gets back to your jokes on West Virginia. And it's interesting. We had a similar thing happen back in 2002, October 2002. There was the CIA put together a classified report on the potential weapons of mass destruction allegedly in Iraq.
I remember that.
And almost nobody on Capitol Hill bothered to go read that. Yeah. I think it was 95 pages prior to voting in favor of invading Iraq.
And there were no weapons.
Absolutely. This is typical of how Congress does its job. Congress is, you know, what we have is attention deficit democracy on Capitol Hill. People talk about ignorant voters, but most congressmen are ignorant on most of the things which they vote on.
Have you read the stories about Bandar Bush or Prince Bandar coming on September the 13th and sitting on the Truman balcony smoking cigars with George Bush? Because part of this gets into the airplanes that left. Some of them, on my reading, suggest that most of these people were in Lexington, Kentucky for the Thoroughbred horse sales when 9/11 happened, and they were spirited out of the country. Talk to that, if you would, Jim.
Well, I've heard about this. I've read a little bit about it. I think you're probably better informed on that aspect of it than I am. It certainly looks squirrely that it looked like the Saudis got very special treatment right after the 9/11 attacks, and I don't have any reason to assume that the folks who were squirreled out of the country had some involvement with the attacks. But with the way that the Bush administration dropped an iron curtain around this subject, and also intentionally misled the American people. I mean, it was interesting. There was a lot of focus on the 9/11 commission that Bush appointed, and came out with kind of a wishy-washy report in mid 2004. But the investigation by Congress that was finished up in late 2002 was far more damning, and it just said that the FBI had screwed up massively, and that there were horrendous failures. I mean, it didn't have all this mealy-mouth language like we heard 2 years later with the 9/11 Commission. So, but there's been very little attention on this congressional investigation. It was, again, there were very, very conservative folks, very liberal folks, and they agreed that some of the federal agencies had massively screwed up, and that was a significant reason why the 9/11 attack succeeded.
Our guest is Jim Bovard. He's a classic. I love him. He's a public policy hooligan, member of USA Today's Board of Contributors. Why do you think, I have all these assumptions and beliefs, but why do you think the reality was, why did George Bush, Cheney and company go after Saddam? What do you think was behind that?
Several motivations. I think Bush was kind of had a notion of family honor, which he was happy to sacrifice other Americans' blood for. I think that the neoconservatives saw Saddam as a potential enemy of Israel. That was a motivation for some of them. I think that there was a sense that the U.S. had to prove its toughness, and that it was important to kick Arab butt after 9/11. It didn't really matter which butts or whether they were actually involved with 9/11. So those were some of the reasons. What's your impression?
I've read about the meetings that were honchoed by Cheney prior, even to the 9/11 attacks, when they were mapping out the Iraqi oil fields, who was going to get what. I remember actually Rumsfeld saying how the war was going to be paid for by Iraqi oil. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I seriously don't know. I know that no one's going to press it, but I think if we saw these 28 pages, I mean, it's overwhelmingly true. There were no WMDs. There were no terrorist camps. Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden hated one another. There was never any relationship between them. The CIA and the black ops prisons, they beat people into telling them what they wanted to hear, and they put it on Saddam. Saddam, I think, played a interesting double game because his greatest fear wasn't the United States of America. It was the mullahs in Tehran. And so he was feigning to them that he was still very strong and very in the game. And in fact, he wasn't in the game. I don't know if George Bush is even smart enough, but I think Cheney is. I think Rumsfeld is. I think Wolfowitz, Card, that cabal of people that were around him. I think you're right about the neocon thing. I think you're right about the oil. I think you're right about Bush's bizarre sense of they tried to kill his daddy. I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. I think that's for future historians. But
this is an important point because it's frustrating to me. It sounds like it's frustrating to you. We don't know the facts of what drove U.S. policy, and the U.S. policy that left thousands of Americans dead, hundreds of thousands or more of Iraqis dead, and the federal government is still withholding not just the 28 pages, but a massive amount of information that would explain why the U.S. government did what it did when it did.
Do you know much about the Sarasota, Florida part of this, where Muhammad Atta and those other hijackers were in this home of this guy? His name is E-S-A-M, last name is G-H-A-Z-Z-A-W-I. I've been reading about him. He was a Saudi advisor to King Fahd. And the FBI hits the place, and they're all gone. The cars are in the garage. Food's on the table. Have you ever read about that stuff?
I read a little bit. I'm not well informed on it, and, you know, I think you're much better read on that issue than I am.
I got nothing else to do with my life. You probably have a real life.
Hey, you're a radio host.
That's right. What am I going to do? But there was that, and then, I mean, this is what's believed in these reports. Here's a better question. Was the Bush administration protecting the Sauds?
It certainly looks like that. We don't have a smoking gun. Perhaps a smoking gun is in those 28 pages. But and as I was saying, I think there's an awful lot of other information that would let us have a better understanding of why Bush and Cheney did what they did, when they did, and give us a background info. I mean, part of the trouble is that the laws and presidential records and stuff like that, it could literally be 25 or 30 years until Americans find out the real reasons why George W. invaded Iraq, because there is so much deference to government secrecy, and that it completely subverts self-government, because if we can't put a leash on the government at the time it's on the verge of going to war, then what's the point of self-government?
There's a representative of Kentucky. He's a Republican. His name is Thomas Massie, M-A-S-S-I-E. And we've contacted Massie. He can't talk, but he's one of the 13 that's read the report. I'll give you a quote, and this is from Thomas Massie. I had to stop every couple of pages and just sort of sort out, and I want you to talk to this, and absorb and try and rearrange my understanding of history of the past 13 years and the years leading up to that, challenge you to rethink everything on 9/11. I know you've talked to Massie, or I believe you've talked to Massie. Did you talk to him?
I haven't talked to him. I've talked to Walter Jones.
And Walter Jones read, he's now, Jones is a Democrat, correct?
No.
No, Jones, he's a Republican. North Carolina Republican. I'm sorry.
Right.
On my list. Yeah.
I'm not sure if you've had him on your show yet, but he has a wonderful North Carolina Southern accent, and, you know.
And a Republican.
Yes, and he sounds like a smart, good old boy. Which is not quite an oxymoron, and he's thoughtful, and he's shown great courage on this, and it's just, and he's from a very conservative district, but he's spoken out. He's put his political career on the line in order to stand up for this. There was a big challenge to him in his primary, I guess, in 2014. some of the GOP establishment wanted preferred to have a congressman who was more docile, but Jones fought back and Jones won.
What has he said about reading those classified pages?
Well, Jones's comments are similar to what Massey said. Massey's comments I'm glad you quoted that. Massey's comments are some of the most head-snapping quotes out there as far as what those 28 pages actually say, and it makes me hungry to read them as well.
Yeah, indeed.
Because it sounds like that it's just kind of calling out a vast amount of a deception in U.S. foreign policy making, perhaps from late 2001 onwards. And again, this, you know, it was frustrating in the weeks and months after 9/11 because George W. and Cheney and others were just pushing all these panic buttons in the American people, and they did that, and by doing that, they were able to seize almost absolute power, at least for a period of time. I mean, as far as the laws on habeas corpus, on torture, on surveillance, and so many of the things which they used to fearmonger, we now know were completely false, and it's a question of whether almost everything that they used
was false. Well, they beat people into telling them what they wanted to hear.
Absolutely.
I mean, one of those guys that was snatched, I think he was snatched in Toronto, and when he saw the invasion take place, he broke down because he realized that they had beaten him into telling him that there was a relationship between Saddam and Osama, and he knew there wasn't, but they beat him into telling him that there was.
And it's interesting looking at some of the statements or some of the reports from the CIA on that, because there were warnings from the CIA that many of the sources that the Bush and Cheney were using to justify invading Iraq were completely uncredible, and that were just, you know, were just laughingstocks, were people that were insane.
Yeah.
It didn't matter, and it was frustrating that there was not more people standing up in Congress and saying, well, wait a minute, you know, this is all a bunch of hooey.
You'd have been run over. I mean, again, anybody who stood up and said this war is wrong, they were dead men. And
well, they were certainly vilified.
Can you stay through a break?
And sure.
What I'd like you to do is recap this. Tomorrow on a radio show, Bob Graham's on the radio show, and we spoke with former Senator Graham before. He was the chairman of that investigation. And said, and I'll talk about Bob Graham. Will you, when we come back from this, okay? Our guest is good. He's a homeboy, man. Jim Bovard's with us. And again, Graham is on the radio show tomorrow at 8 o'clock, a man who actually read this stuff. He uses the words cover up. All right, go sober, helping people.